Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show. February's theme is all about love will find a way, and today's show is about cooking with love. My special guest is Ruth Milstein, the award-winning author of Cooking with Love. Ruth was born in Israel and graduated from Tel Aviv University. After earning her master's degree in arts and journalism, she went on to study jewelry design in Israel and the United States. Although she made a career in designing jewelry, her real passion and hobby has always been food and cooking. Combined with her original family recipes and her extensive experience traveling throughout Europe and the U.S., she wrote a cookbook titled Cooking with Love, which recently won the 2009 Gourmand World Cookbook Awards in Israel. Since Valentine's Day is this weekend, Ruth and I will be discussing food, romance, cooking with love in your kitchen. Good morning, Ruth. Welcome to
Good morning, Johnny.
How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Fantastic. I'm so
delighted
glad
to be on your show.
Wonderful. I'm so glad. I have to tell you, I really like your cookbook very much. I've cooked a couple of wonderful recipes you have in it. I really enjoyed it. I cooked the your signature dish, which is right in on the front cover of your book, the beef stew with red wine. And I also cooked the sea bass filet with fresh herbs. And that's really, really wonderful. But before we talk about your awesome cookbook, let us begin talking about your life's journey. Please walk us through your life from childhood to the present moment, okay?
I was born in Israel, in Tel Aviv. I was raised in very big house and backyard and front yard. We had all the type of trees and vegetables and flowers. My mother took care to the flowers and the vegetables. My father took care to the trees. And basically we ate everything fresh.
That's wonderful, and because I could relate to that, because when I grew up in Malaysia, that's how my mom was. We have our own chickens and come with eggs.
We didn't have chickens, no.
and the vegetable gardens you were talking about, and as I read your cookbook, you know, I'm picturing myself, you know, like wow, this is how I grew up with everything was fresh and everything else. I remember even in school, my teacher would give me a project of growing tomatoes. You know how when we go to school, you know, at the young age, but my mom ended up growing it for me. You know, but go ahead.
And my experience is the childhood of cooking, childhood, and my mother encouragement, because I used to watch my mother cooking. And I didn't understand why she mixing chicken and meat with vegetable. Vegetable, I understood, but why she mix it with fruits? Because fruits eat after dinner, after lunch, or we take it to school. We eat it over there. So she explained it to me, and I was very curious, and she encouraged me. And since then, I love to cook, and I love to use the creativity of mixing unusual combination of ingredients. I learned it from her. And I love to experiment with food ingredients in developing a new recipe from accepted standard, like mixing with chicken with fruit and nuts, roast beef with orange. The orange gives some citrus. It's, first of all, it's tender, the meat.
Right.
The chicken. And chicken, usually, I cook a lot of chicken breast. Chicken breast is usually dry. With the citrus, it's tender. I use a lot of spice and herbs, which are always in hand of my kitchen. And available all around in every market. And it helps to give outstanding flavor and while cutting down on fat and calorie.
Right, right, right. So you guys were, you know, well, a lot of times when you cook at home, too, it's always much healthier than eating out. No question about that.
Absolutely, right. Because we don't know what we're eating there. We don't know. It's a lot of chemical.
Right, right, very, very true. Well, tell us a quick...
When I went to college, I started traveling as an exchange student. In Europe, in London and Amsterdam, especially, exchange student. And after I came to the United States, I was in NYU 1 year and Columbia 1 year. And I met my darling husband over here.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. And I study also jewelry design.
Uh-huh.
And I start working in Israel part-time between hours when I was studying.
Mm-hmm.
When I came over here, I met my husband over here, and I start working. And currently, I still work as a jewelry designer.
Mm-hmm.
Now I do book signing and radio interview, and hopefully around the world.
And I'm sure you will. I mean, it's a fascinating cookbook that you've written, and I think it's done very well because it's easy to, you know, to follow. And as I mentioned before, I've cooked two of the recipes, and there's so much more that I would love to try and finding time. And they're wonderful, fresh food, and the taste is just fabulous. And I love flavorful food, and of course, not to mention trying something from a different culture, and of course, just the taste, you know, it's just a wonderful. So, having said that, please give us a quick history of Israeli cuisine.
The Israeli came from around 100 different countries, from Europe,
mm-hmm.
Asia, America, Australia, mm-hmm. and each one of them brought their own food.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and after with the intermarriage, mixed marriage, you know, somebody from Europe and Asia got married. So they start in the family to try, experiment with the other cooking, with mother-in-law, you know, all this stuff. Yes, basically the Israeli cuisine is fresh. It's Mediterranean. Fresh fruit, fresh vegetable, a lot of olive oil, fresh fish, a lot of herbs. Which now is in hand, really now, it's available all around in every market. When I was a kid, my mother used to grow herbs, yes? Mm-hmm. It wasn't available, but now it's available. And if you don't have it fresh at home, mm-hmm. I stuck at home always with fresh. But if you don't have it, use the dried.
Mm-hmm.
But use always half. If the recipe called for 1 teaspoon fresh herbs,
mm-hmm.
any herbs, use half teaspoon dried.
Mm-hmm.
Always I have also dried to be safe.
Interesting. So basically Israel cuisine is pretty much like over the years, in this case, and centuries, it's a combination of all the different...
All the different, yes.
Yeah,
but when it's come holidays, every family cook their own traditional food, the family. But this is also change because people experiment in the change. And the spices change, and they put more herbs, less fat, less animal fat.
Well,
but
I mean,
basically, it's Mediterranean, it's healthy food.
Right. How about kosher? I mean, of course, you're talking about tradition, you're being Israeli and all that. Tell us a little bit about what kosher food is all about.
Yes. First of all, the book is kosher. For people that keep kosher, the book is strictly kosher. They don't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. Everything is kosher. Kosher is basically how to prepare prepare the food.
Mm-hmm.
We buy kosher meat, kosher chicken, yes,
mm-hmm.
but we don't mix meat with dairy.
Mm-hmm.
And kosher people do not eat shellfish. They eat seafood, but not shellfish and not pork. This is the basic of the kosher. Kosher, the word, it means clean. Clean. This
clean,
is the meaning
okay.
Food.
Yeah.
It means clean. But basically, it's how to prepare the food. Do not mix meat with dairy.
Mm-hmm.
We do not eat pork and shellfish.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But the way your cookbook is written, they can certainly always substitute because the recipes, the flavors, the herbs being used and everything else, it applies to just about any way you want to cook it.
Anyway,
and
most of the chicken recipes, you can substitute with shrimps. Most of the meat recipe, you can substitute with pork.
That's one of the things I saw when I read it, where you could do so many things. I mean, and I see that you substituted margarine for butter.
Yes, and now I'm substitute the butter to olive oil.
Oh, okay.
A lot of butter to olive oil.
I mean, they all have
even
wonderful flavors. So, what inspired you to write this wonderful book?
To bring forth the unorthodox type of food and nutritious combination I had discovered. Also, I wanted to put to pen the many recipes I have created.
You have, but when you, I noticed that you also have, when you were traveling, you tried so many different things. One of the things that you would, you had some food that you have tasted elsewhere in different restaurants, and you tried to sort of recreate that.
Yeah, a lot of Thai restaurants, I start really eating outside the country, outside Israel, a lot of Thai restaurants. Chinese, we have a lot in Israel, but now they have everything. But when I was a student, Thai, Indonesian, Malaysian, Filipino, Vietnam, all the Asian, I love it.
All the
Japanese.
So you were able to incorporate some of those, you know, into your
I experiment. Flavor. I have to experiment a lot.
I see. Okay.
I have to experiment and change and till I get the taste I want.
That's wonderful. Now, you talk about, you know, about cutting down cholesterol and fat in your book. Can you please give us some various steps that you talk about in the book? Because I think the stuff that you talk about in the book are very, very useful for anyone, regardless whether, you know, in all actuality, whether they're cooking with your cookbook or with other cookbook, which I find as fascinating that certain things that, you know, this is just standard. If you're cooking, you need to know this because it will help you.
Yes. Let's start with the meat. When I buy meat, I buy very lean. And if there is some fat, I ask the butcher to trim it. And when I cook the meat, if I need some fat, I add olive oil. Because it's much better than animal fat. We're going to eggs. Eggs, I use a lot of egg white. If the cake or recipe call for four eggs, I substitute two eggs with egg white. For every one egg yolk, two egg white. This you cut here on fat and calorie, and it tastes the same. I have two recipes for mayonnaise in my book.
Yes, I saw that.
One made from yogurt, one made from tofu for people who keep kosher.
Right.
It tastes the same. It's so easy to make it. I have substitute for salt. It's easy to make it. In 2 minutes, you can make it. And it tastes the same.
Yeah, I saw that too. It's very interesting about how to make your own salt that you can use.
I make it all the time. It tastes the same. Nobody knows the difference.
Really? And wow.
If you buy cheese, buy low-fat cheese, like cream cheese. It's like 30%. Buy the 12% for cheesecake. It will taste the same.
Very, very true.
And if you make a cupcake, make it mini. Cookies, make it mini. Instead of fry, sauté. Or try the, I have a chicken, baked chicken in ginger. That it tastes exactly like fried chicken. In page 119, you can look at it. And this you can make ahead also.
Right.
Use all wheat flour. Use brown sugar. And when you go to supermarket, when you go to market, make the shopping cart as a lifestyle. Whatever you put there, this is what you're going to eat. This is what you're going to bring home.
Now, I've tried this, and I know it works very well. You talk about cooking if there's certain dishes that... I will not say fortunately or unfortunately that, you know, you have to use a little extra oil to keep it in the refrigerator for a few hours or overnight, and then you could obviously skim off the excess fat.
Yes.
And I find that to be very, very helpful because that way, you know, you're not eating all that stuff. And then there are some dishes, in all actuality, you do want to keep overnight. It tastes better the next day.
many dishes taste better after even 2 days. And I cook a lot ahead, 2 days ahead, especially
really?
For the holiday. And in the weekend, usually I prepare the meal for all the week.
I see. Okay.
So I want to talk about working women.
Mm-hmm.
How to make their life easier.
Right, right.
Yes.
And it's true because, and you mentioned something very, very important because nowadays, whether you're a single parent, working parents, or having a single life, that you just don't have that much time. I know myself. I mean, I only cook like 2 to 3 times a week maximum, mm-hmm. and I have leftovers, you know, so that it's easier for me. Very, very practical. Don't have enough time in the day. To cook.
No. That's the reason I prepare it ahead. When I bring the meat or the chicken mm-hmm. from the butcher, mm-hmm. I prepare chicken ball, meatball, or hamburger,
mm-hmm.
or I slice a chicken breast and I spice it. I put it in a freezer bag to the freezer. Even steak, mm-hmm. I spice it. I put it in the freezer bag. In the morning before I go to work, I put it in the fridge. When I come from work, mm-hmm. I take it out, and the dinner is ready in 10 minutes.
And what's good about it also, Ruth, is that I find this to be true because even though we, for lack of a better term, you're not necessarily, the word is not preserve our food, but we actually save our food to eat on a different day.
Mm-hmm.
Being that we cook ourselves, we know that we didn't add all those extra so-called preservatives.
Yes.
Which I'm not sure whether it's good or bad for our body, but I'm sure it's more towards the bad side rather than
it's
the good side.
So,
and so you maintain the flavor and everything else, the integrity of the food that you cook, and
mm-hmm.
you can still stretch and have a wonderful food that you could eat 2-3 days, you know, going.
Mm-hmm.
And I know like, you know, in my culture, like I know when I was growing up, my mom has one particular dish that she cooks, and it's meant to be the longer you keep it, the better off it is. It's better.
Because the flavor, all the flavor
it's making.
Precisely,
precisely.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And, you know, and as a child, I remember mm-hmm. going to the kitchen. It's just like, well, are we going to eat this? Because every so often she will take it out and, you know, sort of like cook it again. When I mean cook is to bring it to boil, you know,
mm-hmm.
And so forth. And said, no, not yet. You know, I was like, what do you mean by that?
mm-hmm.
I'm smelling this wonderful aroma and I can't eat it, you know.
If you keep in the fridge herbs,
mm-hmm.
Frozen vegetable in the freezer,
mm-hmm.
and as I said, keep the meat in freezer bag. It's ready to cook.
Mm-hmm.
When you come from work, it's so easy. All what you have to do is to prepare the carb. I cook like brown rice, 10
mm-hmm.
minutes, or baked potato,
mm-hmm.
and the dinner is ready in 10 minutes.
Because mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
nobody has really the strength to come from work and start slaving the kitchen for 2 hours.
Right.
And when you're in the kitchen, have the children together with you, mixing with you, let them touch the food.
Mm-hmm.
Let them taste it together. They're going to be proud.
Right.
Be proud. And children, you can program the tongue also.
Right.
That. I mean, I have a hamburger on bed of rice instead of roll or bone. The bone is it's white bread.
Do you
instead
guys eat
that,
a lot of rice?
Yes.
Is that a traditional Israeli?
Israeli eat a lot of rice.
They do eat a lot of rice. You guys eat a lot of rice. Okay.
A lot of rice, but I start last few years to eat brown rice.
Right. Me too.
And it's
like
if you most of the recipe in the book is white rice.
Mhm. Mm-hmm.
You can cook the brown rice. Just you have to cook it like for every cup to cook it 5 minutes extra.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to use to the test.
Mhm.
Program your tongue also, not only your children's tongue.
I love brown rice. I was like you where I ate white rice for a very long time. I remember going up eating. And this is interesting because of some people. I mean, you have the traditional breakfast, lunch, dinner,
mm-hmm.
and of course, you know, people will eat bread or eggs or whatever, you know, in the mornings, or you know, pancakes and everything else, or donuts and stuff like that. And I remember growing up, I ate rice in the morning, ate rice for lunch, ate rice for dinner.
Yeah, I have Chinese friends eating soup in the morning.
That's right. Yeah.
And of
so
course,
it's very, very interesting. You know, it's very different culture-wise.
Yes.
And recently I started cooking brown rice. I've been eating brown rice actually for the last couple of years, at least I would think. And when I cooked your two dishes, the beef stew,
mm-hmm.
and the sea bass, I actually ate it with brown rice, and
brown
it tastes
rice.
Wonderful.
So it's healthy.
Yeah,
the beef
stew,
you can prepare it 2 days ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good for holidays. It's
right.
Good for holidays.
Right.
It's wine. I use a lot of wine.
Yeah, I know. You know, I noticed that, but they give you a tremendous amount of wonderful aroma, and not to mention the flavor in the various food. And so that's one thing I like about, you know, what I've seen and read in your book, and looking forward to taste all the different ones. And I knew the first time when I got your book to review, I had to cook your signature dish, you know, on the front cover. And when you read it, you know, oh my God, it takes 2 hours. Have to, I actually followed the long way in terms of, you know, keeping it overnight rather
mm-hmm.
than 4 hours. So
mm-hmm.
I took my time
mm-hmm.
and really worked it. But I wanted to taste the wonderful flavor, and I did not add the smoked meat because I wanted to taste
me
the
too. For
flavor.
Myself, I don't add it.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
But
yeah.
People like it. For my guests, yes.
Uh-huh.
My guests,
uh-huh.
they like it.
And
when we cook with the wine, usually...
Uh-huh.
It's for stew or patos, which we cook for or bake for 2 hours.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So most of the alcohol evaporates.
Right.
So children can eat it too.
I didn't cook for 2 hours. I cooked like about an hour and a half or so because
mm-hmm.
I bought the top sirloin.
Uh-huh.
So I guess it's a little bit more tender, you know, and
yes.
so forth, because you recommend it.
They cook it less, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right. So, and it tastes wonderful. I mean, it's just, and I think that by keeping it overnight, the flavor just sort of being absorbed 100% into the meat.
Yes.
And yes. to me, it just tastes so much better.
And the wine gives outstanding
yeah.
flavor, the wine.
Right, right.
Wine.
So
I use a lot of olives also. And thyme,
okay.
and sage,
yeah.
and rosemary, and bay leaf.
Right. And the fresh herbs. I think that's just
yes.
wonderful. It's
just, I use a lot of ginger and garlic.
Right.
And when I saute, I mean, I do it with spray. I spray oil instead
mm-hmm.
of oil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's only few calories. You're going to get used to.
Right, right.
Get used to.
Well, I mean, if you attend to your meal, when you're cooking, I notice even like, say, for example, the sea bass filet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you talk about leaving it for about 3 minutes or so, but again, you depending on the cut of the filet. No
yeah,
matter,
how thick
how
is
thick
it?
Or, right,
yes.
thick or thin. I mean,
yeah.
you can't exactly leave it for 3 minutes. You know, you have to watch it. Basically, you have to
always.
Attend to your food.
Yes.
And so you can flip it when you kind of see it that it's ready to be flipped.
Mm-hmm.
You flipped it, and it's sort of like, that's what it's all about, being able to, when you do that, I guess what I'm trying to relate to here is that when you do that, you don't have to use a lot of oil.
Yeah, it's true.
Because
and if you use oil, I use always olive oil.
Right, and I used olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, and you don't have to, you know, like say you don't, like you were saying, you don't have to really baste it with oil because once it's sort of, you know, you can see that it's time to turn. The oil is there, but then the heat cooks it, and the flavor is cooked into the fish.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And when you buy the fish, buy it from a fishmonger, not supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
Look to the fish, smell it, have it fresh, because
mm-hmm.
when you go to the market, everything is packed.
Right.
They change the expiration dates. You don't know what's inside those packages.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy the meat in the supermarket, in the market, only from butcher.
Right.
Especially ground meat.
Mm-hmm.
All the packages, it's at an end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's fat. I take a big chunk of meat and I ask my butcher, trim all the fat and ground it for me.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
is for hamburger, for chicken balls, for meatballs. This is the best. So you know what's there. Packages, you don't know what's there. You don't know how old is it.
Right, right.
You don't know how old is it.
But it's wonderful. It's fascinating. Let's talk about fruits and vegetables. I know you use a lot of them in your dishes, and of course, you grew up, you know, with vegetable gardens and everything else. So
mm-hmm.
let's talk about that, because I know you did a great job in your book covering fruits and vegetables and how to use them in your dishes. And one particular one, if I'm not mistaken, is in your salad that you did. I think it was a mango salad.
Yes,
if I'm not
it's my favorite. That's the reason it's the first recipe.
Right, right.
It's my favorite, yes, with the mango. Mango is, it's citrus also. There is some sweetness and citrus also.
Right.
And it's tender the chicken.
And the reason why I chose that is because you have all my favorite food, because you have chicken,
yeah.
You have mango, and you have pineapple.
Yes. Even in cheesecake, I put pineapple.
Uh-huh.
Cheesecake, pineapple. The citrus and the sweetness of the cheesecake.
Right.
Together, come together. It's outstanding flavor.
So tell us about your choice of vegetables and fruits.
I go to market, I go to the market and I see what's available there, what looked to me fresh, just came now, not like in the store for 3-4 days. And I buy the vegetable and I go home, I start experiment, what to cook, new dish. I love all the fruit and vegetable, basically. Seasonable is the best. Because if it's not in season, it don't taste right.
Right.
Like all the summer fruit now, they're not tasting right. It tastes like potato.
Mm.
By the season, whatever in the season is the best. It's fresh and it's the best. In appetizer, I put a lot of fruit. First of all, it's we're eating fruit. The children eating fruit. And it gives some... They give to the salad some refreshing. It's not boring. So children will try it also.
Well, one thing I could see is that it's the... Well, for one, you're adding color.
Yes, to, colorful.
To your food, number one. And
absolutely.
Number two, it's... And you mentioned, you know, color is always related to joy and fun, and the kids will enjoy that.
And health.
Obviously, it gives you flavor.
Flavor and health also.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Try to use all the colors. Pepper, like 4 or 5 colors. I have the colorful basket pepper,
mm-hmm.
and I make it all the time for the holiday for my guests, and it's really healthy, it's easy to make, and it's colorful, and bring to the table happiness.
Right.
Yes.
And the health part about it that you touch, which is very, very important, because these are the things, and this is something very interesting. You may not realize this, Ruth, but I don't eat vegetables.
Uh-huh.
And I've always, my mom had spoiled me when I was growing up. Basically, I'm the kind of guy that would have plenty of meat, and the rest of the family would have all the vegetables, you know. But I do eat fruits, but I'm also particular about eating fruits, and there's certain fruits I would eat and not eat. And what I've gathered from your cookbook is that when you use those fresh ingredients like mangoes and pineapples, obviously they taste very different than the ones in a can.
Yes.
Because they have this wonderful natural sweetness to them.
And try to sneak it to your salad. So you're going
mm-hmm.
to like salad again. You're going to try to eat salad. Try to sneak it to the salad.
Right. And
right.
So it just adds a new dimension to mm-hmm. To eating healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the fascinating part about what you have put it together in your cookbook in terms of using fresh fruits and vegetables. And to our listeners, actually, I mean, Ruth, you've been fortunate because you do go to, you know, the market and so forth. But in major cities that you live, or even in, you know, smaller cities too, they have a farmer's market just about everywhere. Now,
I
you
know.
May not have it every day, but they have it certainly, I'm sure, once a week or so that you can buy.
Yes, I know.
And
yes.
Go.
When we travel, we see it, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this is where you can actually get some wonderful
mm-hmm.
fresh foods,
mm-hmm.
fruits and vegetables.
Even fresher than the market.
Right, right.
Fresher than the market. Try the substitute. I have 3 substitutes for chicken liver.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken liver usually traditional for Jewish holidays.
Uh-huh.
But everybody likes chicken liver, but they have substitutes. One made from mushroom, one made from eggplant or zucchini. It tastes
right.
exactly like... chicken liver.
Oh, really?
But without the fat and the cholesterol.
And it's actually a lot healthier, too, because, I mean, I've always been told, I mean, I grew up, actually, because that's sort of a delicacy food. When I love chicken livers. I love, you know, of course, we eat pork in Malaysia, but, you know,
uh-huh.
like, you know, animal parts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's cooked well. It's
mm-hmm.
good. But, of course, yes. then the next thing you hear about is, of course, you know, is it healthy? Is it not healthy? So what you came up with this wonderful substitution it allows you to enjoy the flavor without having to worry.
Same. Mm-hmm. That's the same, and you can eat and eat and eat. I mean, it's it's without the fat and without the calories. It's low in calories.
That's right. That's right.
And it's healthy because it's vegetable. Children will love it too.
What is your favorite appetizer in the book?
My appetizer, it's the chicken salad with mango,
mm-hmm.
and I use mayonnaise made from tofu.
Okay.
The substitute mayonnaise.
Okay.
Or the chicken liver, the substitute, or the
uh-huh.
ginger with asparagus. I love it.
The chicken, you know, and mango pineapple, I mean, that sounds fabulous to me, like mentioned to you before, because to me that sounds like tropical happiness
mm-hmm.
and fun to eat. And food
and
has
to
be
so
fun.
It looks so nice, beautiful,
right,
on the table.
Right.
And use the substitute mayonnaise. You have one from yogurt, one from tofu.
Right. And that's the thing also about the, you know, you're talking about tofu. I mean, you use a lot of tofu also. Now, is tofu something that's readily available in Israel when you were growing up?
Yeah, now yes. I discovered when I was a student, tofu, and I start to experiment.
Uh-huh.
I find out that tofu, it's tasteless. Unless
uh-huh.
you start mix it with spice or cook it. Once you cook it, it tastes great.
Well, you see, not a lot of people like tofu. And then
no, because it's tasteless.
The people that tasted it is wonderful.
It's really tasteless.
Mm-hmm.
I start experiment, and I came with the wonderful dishes, even dessert.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, that's one of the things that I'm glad we talk about, because I know in your book you have a whole section for tofu,
mm-hmm.
and you use it in cooking as well as in the dessert, and they're wonderful, and it's very healthy.
Yes, and even I sneak their avocado dessert with tofu, which is great. You won't believe it's avocado. I ask my guests, what are you eating?
Uh-huh.
They think it's cheese. They're telling me it's cheese.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay, continue to eat. When you finish, I will tell you what's inside. Especially children, they hear tofu, forget
mm-hmm.
it. Forget it. They don't want to hear it.
Right, right. Well, sometimes it's just the idea that people have heard, you know, different things about tofu, and then they say, "Oh no, I don't want that."
if you don't know how to use it, it's really hard. I mean, they don't know what to buy. There is the soft, which I use it for soup,
right,
or dessert. There is the medium, and there is the firm, an extra firm, which I use it for the square tofu in ginger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you try it. It's, if you make it the day before, it's great. As an appetizer, as a snack, it's good. I make it all the time when I go to a book signing. And I bring it. And people think that it's cheese. People think it's cheese. It tastes like a cheese.
Right.
It's sautéed. It's with ginger, with sesame. And it tastes great. And you can eat it room temperature, cold or hot. And always an example.
You just gave me a great idea. So I need to start cooking when I do my book signings. That way I draw more people.
Yes. When you do your book signing, you have to bring something to nip. Because this is bring crowd. You know, people are curious. When there is food, people come to taste.
And they want to find out what the deal
what
is.
What there, yes. And I have the picture also of it in my book. So
yeah.
They look at it.
The pictures help a lot. I mean, the book is very well designed. I am one of those people that cook that I have to visualize and see.
Mm-hmm.
If I read the recipe and if I can't picture how it looks like,
then
I have no earthly idea what I'm cooking.
Yes. You're right.
Different people, do things differently. For me,
yes.
I'm very visual. I could copy just about everything you throw at me if I have an opportunity to see it, the end product. Because then I say, mm-hmm. okay, this is how it's supposed to look like. Then I did it right, so to speak.
People, picture does a lot. Yeah.
Right, right.
Does a lot.
Well, let's talk about soups. What is your favorite soup? You have some wonderful soups in here, but
It's the meatball soup,
mm-hmm.
which is a full meal. I mean, you have the vegetable, they have the protein. All what I have to add is carb, which is also. And this soup, usually I make it 2 days even ahead, day or two ahead. I made it double, and you can eat it as a lunch, you can eat it as a dinner. You have, and it's really, really, it's hearty soup and tasty. The second soup that I like really is the mushroom soup. Not the, there is two mushrooms in my books, one cream of mushroom, one mushroom. The mushroom soup, it's easy to make, and it tastes great. You won't believe that there is no fat there, almost no fat.
Now, what I like about it is that also you use original stocks. You, instead of using water, you actually take the time
to put stock with it.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that, how you go about doing that.
When I have time, I prepare the stock and I freeze it. I just freeze it. So when I have to make soup or anything that I want, I need stock, I just take it from the freezer. This is the best. I don't like to buy stock because I don't know what's there.
Yeah, you really have no idea what's in there. Because I remember growing up, my mom, you know, like you, would do that when you have excess little pieces here and there that she
you
would
need
cook
time.
Her own broth.
First of all, you need time for that also.
Right.
You need time.
Right, so that makes a big difference. Your favorite salad and vegetable dishes?
Salad and vegetables. Let's see. I have so many. I love all of them. Everything with vegetable, I love. I love it.
Well, you have a lot of fresh ones. And is there anything that that you come to mind that's
I have. I like really the beet salad, the local. I have two recipes for beet salad and two recipes for potato salad. And when I make it for our family, and I make the local. And believe me, John, it tastes the same. Tastes the same. My husband loves beets, and it's always welcome for him, the beet salad and potato salad. And I make the local one. If somebody wants to make the regular one, let them. But I make the local, and it tastes the same.
Now, do you guys eat a lot of potatoes?
I don't eat a lot, but I eat potatoes. Potatoes, people say it's not healthy. It's healthy. I eat it not as a snack. I eat it as a carb. As a carb, as a side dish, as a carb. Either rice or baked potato, small baked potato, it's fine. Small baked potato is like 70 calories. Yeah, and they don't peel it because the peel has more vitamin than the potato.
Right, right. Let's talk about the main dishes now. Which is a classic Israeli dish that survived through the generations? I know that, you know, from my various moms that in cooking that, you know, there's always a signature dish. It's a traditional dish that just survived generations. And, of course, based on our flavor taste buds, you know, we sort of tweak it, you know, by generation to meet our flavor and taste that we like. But which is in your cookbook and in from your perspective is a classic Israeli dish that has survived through the generations?
Classic for every day, I would say the chicken in orange with kumquat. Kumquat is not available all year round, so use orange. The chicken, for every day we eat a lot of chicken in Israel. End of the week, like Fridays, we eat fish. In the former special occasion, the chicken with the wine and balsamic vinegar, which this you can make 2 days ahead. And me, always, I double the recipe and I freeze it. And after, from the freezer straight to the microwave, 2 minutes, it's ready. My mom, in the holidays, this was dish that every holiday she made, at a side dish, it was the red rice surrounded with dry fruits.
I see. So the red rice is one of a traditional staple.
This is every holiday my mother makes.
Every holiday.
Yeah, this is as a side dish.
Is there a symbolic thing about having the rice particularly cooked red with the tomatoes?
She loves to cook it red. She loves to cook it red, and it's more appetizing. It's that time, you know, when we grow up, we cook only white rice.
Right,
so she made it red, and so it's always surrounded with nuts and dry fruits. This is my mother's signature. And this every holiday I have to make it.
And that brings up, because, you know, we Chinese are about to celebrate our Lunar New Year coming up this
week.
Yeah,
it's coming up. Yeah.
That's right.
It's Valentine's Day.
That's right. And so it's sort of a combination thing. And does that, you know, like for you guys, and, you know, like, do you all have any special dishes for Rosh Hashanah and stuff like that?
Rosh Hashanah, we have the chicken with the honey. Everything
okay.
Honey, mm-hmm. honey, because it's symbolic for a sweet year. Everything
I see.
Honey.
Okay.
Honey, usually chicken, a lot of chicken for a symbolic year.
And so you guys probably eat more chicken than beef, then, I presume.
Yes.
Veal and even fish. I
no,
guess,
we
right?
eat veal, we eat fish, everything. But the chicken is easy to prepare, easy to cook, and everybody like it.
Right.
Everybody like it. You don't have to really to go a lot of steps with chicken, like meat. How meat is like more. It's, first of all, it's longer to cook meat.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken is cooked like 1, 2, 3.
And do you all have any special dish for, like, Valentine's Day?
Valentine's Day, it's sweet, a lot of sweet. And usually we ask the spouse. In Israel, we celebrate a family day.
Right.
It's like it's like Valentine's Day and Father's Day and Mother's Day and Grandfather. Here they celebrate everything separately, all
uh-huh.
the holidays. In Israel, it's family days and one day a year. Usually we ask the spouse, we ask some our family, what do you want, and we cook for them. My husband always choose osobuku, so I cook for him osobuku.
Okay.
Osobuku, and the cake he like chocolate cake.
Mhm.
And I make it for him, a no bake chocolate cake. I have new recipes I just created like a few months ago.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going to make. This I'm going to make for him, and my husband is my tester also.
So he can be your critic then, right?
Yeah, and he's expert on wine, and
uh-huh.
he helped me to choose the wine for the cooking.
And how about the honey? I read somewhere, I believe it's a honey cake, isn't it? For
the honey cake, I have two recipes. One, it's local, yes.
Yes.
It's traditional for Rosh Hashanah.
Locally, yeah, honey cake. Yeah. I see that, yeah.
And you can freeze it also.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to this type of cake, like honey cake, lemon cake, orange cake, you can freeze it. You can
mm-hmm.
freeze half of the cake, or you can make it double recipe and freeze it. Just freeze it right with the right bag, frozen bag, or right. Now they have all the storage boxes, you know,
mm-hmm.
all those
mm-hmm.
containers. They're great. You can store it, and really there is no humidity, nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
try to cook double and freeze it. I freeze a lot, and it
and then just warm it back up again.
Yes,
and
everything done, everything that you freeze fresh, it's like you just cooked it.
Mm, okay.
Just cooked it.
Okay. Do you guys have any special dishes for celebrating birthdays? Because I know, you know, when I was growing up, Mom would always cook this special Chinese noodle that is very, very soft. And we would have a boiled egg that is dyed in red,
mm-hmm.
and we will also have and all these are actually cooked, and then they have one piece of, I remember it vividly, that we have sugar, rock sugar on it, and it
oh.
symbolizes prosperity,
uh-huh.
long life, good
ah.
luck, and everything else. So do you guys have something like that?
I usually ask the birthday boy, birthday girl, doesn't
uh-huh.
matter if he's child or adult, what
uh-huh.
he wants for his birthday. And we cook that. And, of course, the cake.
Uh-huh.
The cake is always a surprise.
I
always
see.
Surprise. Now, with all the cake, we put the picture on
oh,
it.
Oh, okay.
Yes, which is
very
easy now. Now it's very easy to make it, to do it.
Very, very interesting.
Surprise. The cake is always a surprise.
How have your family take your recipes in terms of modifications and stuff like that? How do your mom look at all this that you have done?
My mom has passed away, so she don't...
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Thank you. She don't know about the book, but my family is very, very proud of me.
Mm-hmm.
Very proud of me.
Mm-hmm.
I learn a lot from my family. I still,
mm-hmm.
when I go to Israel, they ask me to cook
yes.
a specialty, and I cook for them specialty. but I learn from them a lot also.
Uh-huh.
I learn from them. I go to the market. I saw what's new over there. Because every day in every market in every country, there is something new. And I buy a lot of spice because I find out that the spice over there, it's fresher
mm-hmm.
than here. I never buy spice from the market, supermarket. In
right,
fact,
right.
Always I buy fresh one.
Well, you know, my mom still sent me fresh spices from Malaysia.
Yes.
I'll use my special Malaysian curry powder, Malaysian
I use a lot of
chili.
Curry. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Curry and turmeric. It's very healthy.
Right.
Yes.
And my mom actually sent me saffron from Malaysia.
Oh, yes. It is good.
And I know you use saffron in your cooking. And so it's just a one. It's a it has a very different flavor when you get it fresh because sometimes.
Shall I give her my address?
I'm sure she'll send you some. I mean, she's just you know, she enjoys that because when I go home to Malaysia every so often and we will actually go to this meal that
mm-hmm.
actually makes fresh curry powder.
Yes.
So you know they combine
curry
all the different tea. You know spices. And then they blend it, and you could just smell the aroma.
Mm-hmm. I know it's different. It's different.
Yes, very, very much. That. Very, very different. So it's been really wonderful.
Well, by the way, across the street from my house, I have a Malaysian restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
okay.
They opened it like 6-7 years ago, and it's
okay.
crowded every night.
Okay.
Every night.
It's a different flavor. You know, to me, good food don't have to be spicy. What it needs to be is it needs to be flavorful that
mm-hmm.
you can really taste the food at the same time enjoy the uniqueness of the flavor.
Yeah, whatever you put in the food is what you're going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Quality is quality.
Right, right. And so that's a big difference. What non-traditional Israeli food and dishes that really influence your, you know, your cooking?
Yes.
I know you talk a little bit about
yes.
Asian and so forth.
Yes.
What other dishes that influence yes. your cooking?
You know, they sell turkey, they use turkey
mm-hmm.
in Israel more than every other place on the planet.
Oh, okay.
Turkey, but not all the turkey.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I cooked turkey for Thanksgiving, it's over here.
Right, okay.
They don't buy all the turkey, never. They never cook all the turkey. It's all sliced turkey.
Okay.
Sliced turkey or kolka turkey.
Right,
I didn't know that they eat so much turkey more than every place in the world. Yes.
Oh, okay.
But never all turkey. So I cook turkey for Thanksgiving, and it always has to be over 30 pounds because I have
yeah.
a lot of guests and family coming over. And I learned to cook it very good, really. It's very
mm-hmm.
tender, very moist, and in less time. The way I cook it is less time. And when somebody comes from Israel, I surprise them with turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And always are scared that they don't like it. They love it. They love it. But this is really, it's not traditional in Israel, all turkey. They eat it as a sliced turkeys,
mm-hmm.
turkey leg, turkey breast. This is how they buy it and this is how they cook it.
And do you guys fry a lot of stuff?
No. Israeli, no. They don't fry, no. No. Even
mm-hmm.
French fries, I don't fry, I bake it.
Mm-hmm.
I bake it. I spice it, I bake it, and it tastes almost, I won't say exactly, but almost like
sure,
French fries.
Sure,
yes.
sure.
I mean, try not to fry. Saute.
Mm-hmm.
Still fried. It tastes the same. Program your tongue. Program your children's tongue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fried is it's extra calorie, extra fat. We don't need it.
No, you as far as condiments is concerned and spices and so forth, what non-traditional Israeli spices that you have
Israel,
used?
They have all the spices, everything mm-hmm. they have, but really I start to use more in this country is the ginger.
Mm-hmm.
I start using ginger, and always I have ginger, fresh ginger in my freezer.
Mm-hmm.
My freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all ginger, and I want to use it. I just cut 1 inch, and I do what I have to do with that, and that's it. It's I'm using a lot of ginger, more than I use in Israel.
Well, ginger is, of course, it's a foreign spice, and a lot of, I think, Asian cooking.
A lot of Asian, and I cook
ginger.
A lot of Asian. I
right, and I know that you use some soy sauce also.
Soy sauce, yes. I use The low salt soy sauce.
Mm-hmm.
When you use soy sauce, you don't have to use salt and all this stuff, you know. It
right.
gives an outstanding flavor, soy sauce, but try to use it very less. And if you use for salt, try the substitute salt.
Right.
Try
right.
the substitute. It tastes the same. And it's
right.
easy to make. It's very easy to make.
And what I like about ginger also, it enhances the flavor that
oh, yeah.
sort of take it up to the next level, you know, add a couple of notches to mm-hmm. the flavor and everything else. Very interestingly, how you have incorporated all this sort of Mediterranean flavor, the
yes.
Israel flavor, into the flavors of the different ethnicity of the world. And one of the things that I told my mom, because she travels quite a lot, and I have always told her that regardless wherever you go, you need to taste the food at the locals' food that you go to,
absolutely.
Because it will give you the opportunity to taste how they eat their food. And we're not talking about exotic food. Like I say again, we're not trying to break those cultures.
Everyday
so
food.
Yeah, everyday food, chicken, fish,
mm-hmm.
Those kind of things that you can get everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is the window to the world besides languages. And
mm-hmm.
food is something, obviously, you don't need to know. You just know that it's chicken, but it's cooked differently.
Yes,
and it
yeah.
gives you that wonderful flavor. So what, to me, fascinating about your cookbook is that you're able to blend all this thing into a new, wonderful flavor of food that, you know, hey, I like this. This is what I like. It tastes good. Check it out. And it's just wonderful.
So just don't be scared. To my reader, don't be scared to try new things.
Mm-hmm.
Be creative, improvise new ingredient. You don't have to follow my ingredient. You can just improvise. You can
mm-hmm.
you can change, yeah, and see the outcome. You will be surprised. Try the recipe.
Well, the recipes are very easy to follow.
Very easy,
one thing,
yeah.
And that's what I like about
easy
it.
Easy and short.
And
buy my book or the audio. I have the audio. It's four disc, the audio.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use it in your car also. If you need shopping list, you don't have to take the book with you. You just put
right.
the disc in the car and you know what you have to buy.
Right.
Or you can, or people, you can download it also
mm-hmm.
as an e-book through my publisher.
Right. And, well, the cooking is in right now, Ruth. One of the things that I've done in previous shows and so forth, people have always asked me, how do we get our kids engaged to be in the kitchen? Because, you know, my show is about From My Mama's Kitchen, where the conversations are happening in the kitchen table setting, very informal and everything else. And the kitchen is the heart and soul of every home. And one of the things I tell them is that, and I'm sure you agree with me, is that what it's all about is you can engage the kids when they're, you know, they're wanting to do something with you, like you when you started out when you're 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. Same thing with my mom, is that, you know, starting to prep stuff, basic, simple things that they can do, and they'll enjoy because they have contributed towards making that wonderful dish when you serve
creative.
It.
They feel creative. They're going to be proud. Let them touch the food so
right.
they know what they're eating.
Right. And that's one thing I think with your book, it allows that because the recipes are spelled out to whereby you can assign these little things that your children could use.
Mm-hmm,
and
absolutely.
And be incorporated with it. Well, let's talk about this. How can someone buy your book and find out more about you?
It's in through my publisher, Tate, T-A-T-E, publishing.com,
mm-hmm.
in Barnes & Noble, Borders, Amazon. You can get it. Amazon, in 2 days you have it. And Overstock.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy the book or the audio or you can download the e-book.
Mm-hmm. And you also, and what's your website?
It's my website. It's like
yes.
my name. It's RuthMilstein.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There is a lot of video there. There is a lot of pictures and a lot of fun.
And, of course, don't forget, whenever you do a book signing, you do offer food.
Always. Always offer food.
And I need to start doing that. You see, that's
yes.
a good way of getting people to come to my book signing.
Yeah, because, Johnny, when you do book signing, it's like 3 hours.
Right,
and
right.
It's usually it's afternoon, people have to work,
mm-hmm.
and if they want to nap to something, just make something easy,
right.
you know, with So they can pick it easy and test it, and after that, oh, this is good. You have the recipe, or the recipe, show them the picture.
Right.
And it's good for both of us. It's good for
the reader
and for us.
Well, what's your favorite dessert?
It's cheesecake. I have cheesecake with pineapple, which I love it, and I have the cheese mousse cake, and I experiment all of the cheesecake. And my next experiment is going to be, I want to make cheesecake from tofu, which I didn't try yet.
Sounds exotic.
And try the orange cake or the lemon cake or the banana cake made from cereal.
Cut
on fat and calorie.
Right.
And all those cake you can, or honey cake, all those cake, you can freeze it.
You
can freeze it. So if somebody surprises you, I mean, guess, always you have something in your freezer.
That's true. That's very true. I mean, one of my late moms, she knows that one of my favorite simple dessert for me is the regular pound cake. But however, what I like it, I like double the butter in it, you know, because it tastes rich. And so she would make a bunch of them, and you're right, and freeze it and just, you know, thaw it out, and it tastes wonderful.
Yeah. So I freeze a lot, you know. When you freeze it fresh, when you eat it, it's fresh. Like you just baked it. You just cooked it.
That's fantastic. One of the things I do want to ask you, I noticed in your cookbook that I didn't get a chance to ask you, I know you had this wonderful recipe of red snapper baked in with vegetables.
Oh, yes.
And I know that you use the whole red snapper, and that's something that a lot of people don't realize sometimes. I know growing up, I know my family does that quite a bit. They cook the whole fish, and it somehow it tastes better. But let me ask you this. Tell us about why you use the whole fish.
Because I like to eat the whole fish myself.
Oh, okay.
I like to eat the whole fish,
mm-hmm.
and I mean it's more moist.
Mm-hmm.
When you eat all the all fish, it's more moist. You don't have have to be red snapper. Any fish,
mm-hmm.
any fish, and a lot of vegetable,
mm-hmm.
and you make some carb. I mean like potato, mashed potato, or baked potato, or rice on the side. You have all the meal. You have the carb, you have the protein, and you have the veggie.
Fantastic.
You have the veggie.
What can we expect from
snapper,
you?
Red snapper, I love it. Red snapper, I love the fish because it's very easy to handle. Very easy. And it's available in the market all around. Fishmonger is a really great fish. I go over there, I see what he has, and I buy it. He clean it for me, and it's ready. All that I have to be, just to wash it, add the vegetable, and it's there. And it's cooked very fast also.
Right.
It's like 30 minutes. You put it in the oven, you come from work, put it from the oven, you take a shower, the meal is ready.
That's fantastic. That sounds
and
good.
You don't
I
have
mean, I saw that. I wanted to ask
red snapper. You can
cook
any fish that you like. I personally love red snapper. And the meat is so tender.
Right.
So tender.
What can we expect from you in 2010?
I am in process to write a new book, and you're going to be surprised.
Okay.
Going to be surprised.
Wonderful. And we're coming to the end of the show. Do you have a recipe for living that you want to share with our audience today?
Yes, I have a new recipe that you can make it very, very easy and fast. I just created it like 2 months ago. It's one day I have interview, and I had to cook something for my family, and I had to do it very fast. I looked at the freezer. What I have? Oh, I have chicken breast, ground chicken breast. So I made I made the chicken balls. I add a little bit peanut butter, a little bit ginger, half cup of water, no oil, not even a drop of oil, in a fry pan, and it's cooked in 10 minutes. Delicious.
Wonderful.
Right. This all the recipe.
Wonderful.
This all the recipe. Delicious. If you don't like chicken, you can use turkey or anything else.
That sounds wonderful. That's great.
New recipe. I tried another recipe for the holiday because the Jewish holiday is coming. Fair. I already experiment with chicken, with chestnuts.
Oh, okay.
It's also very. It's going to be in my new book. All those recipes, and it's also easy to make. It's so easy to make.
That's fantastic. Yes. I mean, I look forward to seeing your second book, and perhaps we can have you back on here to talk about your second book with all the recipes in it. Anyway, to all our listeners, thank you for being with us this morning. Please join
thank
me next Tuesday morning as we continue with our February's theme. My guest will be Nina Atwood. She's a therapist with over 22 years of experience and an author of 4 self-help books for singles and couples. Her book title, Be Your Own Dating Service, published in 1994, is still as popular as ever. And her latest book, Temptation of the Single Girl, the 10 Dating Traps You Must Avoid, is the latest buzz in the single world. And please join Nina and I next Tuesday morning as we discuss romance, love, dating, and the single life.
And thank you for having me on your show, Johnny.
Oh, you're welcome. Enjoyed having you on. And for anyone else who's looking for additional information, please go to FromMyMamasKitchen.com. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a great week. And Ruth, thank you again, and have a great day.
Thank you, Johnny.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.